Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
941, it's Dean Richards, and this is 720 WGN. Time for the Weekend Health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. As always, joining us, Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine, Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Delner Hospital. Dr. Wheat, good morning. Thank you for joining us, as always.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing very, very well. Before we start off here, we need an instant diagnosis for Andy Mazur, who is suffering a sinus infection today. We like to bring our medical problems, whatever they are, right here to the show. What would you suggest for someone suffering a sinus infection? What should he be doing?
The things that work the most are all of the symptomatic things. So using nasal saline spray can sometimes help start clearing out some of the mucus, some Tylenol or ibuprofen if there's a fever or pain, lots of fluids. Mm. And if it stays for a long time, then maybe needs antibiotics, but we don't usually start there.
Okay. All right. So I believe he's on a tea break right now as we speak. But
sounds perfect.
It is. That's a tough one, that sinus. I've had many sinus infections, and you just feel like your head's going to explode with something like that.
You really do, and they last a while, unfortunately. You don't feel yourself for a bit.
Yeah, his has been lingering for a while. So anyway, we'll pass along those tips to him. One of the big stories of this past week has been the hospitalization of the Reverend Jesse Jackson. He remains at Northwestern Hospital right now here downtown for progressive supranuclear palsy, which I had never heard of before. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, and it's not surprising that you've never heard of before because it's a fairly rare disorder. And it is a disorder that impacts the nerves and the brain and looks a lot like Parkinson's. And from what I have read about his case, it sounds like that's what happened with him too, was that it looked a lot like Parkinson's. And basically, it is a degenerative disease where your muscles stop working well. And so for many people, their eyes don't move up and down very well. They have to move their whole head to move their eyes. And then all of their movements really slow down is the biggest hallmark, which is why it looks a lot like Parkinson's. And unfortunately, there's just not great treatment or prognosis available for it. Yeah. A lot of like physical therapy and occupational therapy and just trying to make life as easy as possible.
Yeah. Is it degenerative? I mean, is it something that will get worse?
It is. And unfortunately, because it impacts muscles, it can then impact things like being able to swallow and have food. And so, and the impact of breathing. And so yes, unfortunately, it starts to worsen and there's just not very many options for it.
So how does one determine whether or not it's Parkinson's or supranuclear palsy? Are there certain symptoms that people should look out for themselves, that could be a red flag that they need to contact a physician?
I think that either one of them, you're hopefully talking with a physician because your movements are impacted. And it seems like the biggest hallmark of this palsy is the eyes, is really not being able to look up and down without moving your entire head. And then the other way that sometimes this is diagnosed is that they're already under the care of a physician getting treatment for Parkinson's and it's just not working. They're just not responding to the medications in the typical way that someone with Parkinson's might respond. So absolutely, if you feel like you're not moving like yourself, if it's harder to get up, to move your head, to move your eyes, and those are absolutely reasons to go see your physician.
Is this something which could affect anyone, or are there certain age groups, certain demographics of people who might be affected by this?
The good news is it's fairly rare, but for the folks that we see it in, it's most often we're seeing it in older people, which is also what we often see for folks in Parkinson's. I'm not expecting to see this in very young adults. I'm expecting to see this in middle-aged to older adults. And so it's hard because it looks very much like everything else.
Right, right. All right. Well, we wish the Reverend Jackson the very best with this.
Absolutely.
And, you know, provide some information for, you know, other people who, if you see symptoms, if you, you know, see things that require further attention, be aware of it at least. We are just, you know, less than 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving, and everybody's going to be getting together. Everybody's going to be hugging and kissing. Everybody's going to be on a plane. It's a breeding ground, isn't it, for spreading germs. I hate to be that guy, but how should we be taking precautions? Is there something we can do now to build up our immunity for when Thanksgiving gets here? I think it's the 28th this year.
Yeah, you are not wrong. It absolutely is a breeding ground. The things that we can do are just the healthy things, making sure that we're eating well up into it, making sure we're trying to get as much rest as possible, making sure you're doing all of the hand washing that you can, staying away from people that are sick, maybe wearing a mask if you're going out around people that are sick, or if you are sick, to protect the rest of us by wearing a mask. But there's also always, you can still get your flu and COVID vaccines or your pneumonia vaccines or your pertussis vaccines. If you are due for those and not yet up to date, there is still some time to have a little bit of benefit, though we're sort of right at the end of that window because it's usually about 2 weeks. And really just taking care of yourself up until that time, because many of us run around and get very busy in this season and don't take care of ourselves because we're trying to plan for the holidays, and that can actually make it harder for us to stay well.
Yeah, good advice. But once we get to these holiday get-togethers and, you know, everybody, you know, wants a Thanksgiving kiss and a hug and all that, probably not good that I'm wearing a beekeeper suit to my Thanksgiving gathering, right, to protect myself.
I mean, you absolutely could, but you're right. That's probably not going to go over super well. But again, just washing your hands as frequently as you can. Maybe avoiding some of those hugs and kisses if people have been around folks that are sick, and making sure that not related to the hugs and kisses, but making sure that we are using good hand hygiene as we're making the food so that we're not spreading anything as we're making and sharing food together.
All right. I sound like super paranoid, crazy Uncle Dean with all this.
But not at all. You're not wrong.
I'm just trying to prevent. I'm trying to not get sick. I always do. But
yes, I always say I don't have time to get sick. So absolutely, I'm with you.
Exactly. Exactly correct. When we come back from the break, how walking can decrease the risk of a major disease that people deal with. And your phone calls, 312-981-7200. Dr. Santina Wheat with us today for healthcare. Dr. Santina Wheat, Delner Hospital, Northwestern, on with us this morning for the Week in Health. And Dr. Wheat, I guess there is some evidence that walking, daily walking, can decrease the risk of Alzheimer's. Is that true?
That's true. I feel like every week there's another study that comes out that says the benefits of walking. So it's something that we should all be doing. But yes, there's been some data that shows that little bits of exercise like walking that can be that low impact have been shown to decrease the progression of Alzheimer's. And so it seems like it's one more reason that we should all be getting up. And the great part about it is you don't have to go for an hour-long walk. It can be bits of 10-minute walks here and there, maybe after your meal, like after your Thanksgiving meal next week, go for a 10-minute walk, and that helps decrease your risk.
Yeah, a brisk walk, a casual walk. You know, because I see people out doing what was called power walking. Do you got to do it like that, or is it just you want to like keep everything moving for 10, 15 minutes?
It's really the idea of keeping everything moving. Of course, if you do more brisk walking, that helps a bit more with your heart health. and helps you get more in a shorter period of time, but you do not have to walk briskly for there to be a benefit. In fact, that this was the most benefit from folks that were sitting and being very sedentary, getting up and getting even little bits of walks in, they saw the biggest difference there.
Yeah, there are so many benefits, right, for taking, you don't have to jog, you don't have to, you know, go crazy
exactly.
with it, but a little bit of walking can help you in so many different ways. Nick is on the northwest side of Chicago and is on with Dr. Santina Wheat. Hello, Nick.
Hi, good morning, everybody. There's an antiviral tissue now. It says so on the box. It's a little square box. And my girlfriend, she had a problem on and off with a runny nose this season. And it seems to have helped her now. I don't know what else she's taken or if anything else, but it seems to have helped her. I'd like to know the opinion on it. What are the ingredients or what is the ingredient in this thing? And appreciate hearing.
What do you know about that? These tissue papers that say they are moisturizers, they are antiviral. I always thought when I see them in the store, it's just like kind of a marketing thing to try to get you to buy the stuff, and it's no different from anything else. What's your opinion on that, Doc?
Yeah, I guess I'm not familiar. This is like a tissue that like you blow into or a tissue that you're taking?
It sounds like one that you blow into. Nick dropped off the line there, but I think he meant, because I think I've seen them in the store where it says antiviral, whatever the brand of tissue paper is.
Yeah, that's something I will have to look more into. When I've seen things like this, it's been more likely like soothing tissue so that it doesn't hurt as you're blowing your nose, but also helps catch things so that it's not spreading to other people. But I will have to look into that a little bit more.
Yeah, I did a quick...
They said it's not going to help you in particular, but...
I did a quick Google search on it. Kleenex Antiviral Disposable Facial Tissue, a specially treated mid-layer that wipes out cold and flu viruses. Wow, that's a medical breakthrough, isn't it?
I mean, if it works, that's great. But I still feel like there's not a whole lot that helps viruses, but something to look out for, I guess.
Yeah, well, and certainly medical science has not really figured out a way to wipe out the flu and cold virus yet, right? Much
right.
less a tissue you blow your nose into, I guess. All right, Dr. Wheat, thank you for joining us as always. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaugh, Northwestern Family Medicine, Northwestern's Delner Hospital. Have a great Sunday, Doctor. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Take care.